Welcome to Out of the League with me, Alex Ewing. It's been another busy week in the Squirrel Premier as we see Nuneaton, yes, Nuneaton, lead the pack after 9 games. We bring an extended interview with new Gateshead boss Gary Mills, and we talk about what's happening at Grimsby. And of course, Michael McCann is back to round up the weekend's Squirrel North and Squirrel South action. Before we start this week's show, I just quickly want to plug ourselves. If you've enjoyed our podcast or our website, please, please, please tweet the following. I am voting in at the FBAs for at Out of the League as the best football hashtag podcast and best hashtag non-league blog. Thank you very much in advance. And if you don't have Twitter, please go on the Football Blogging Awards website where it tells you how you can vote via Facebook or online. Thanks again for your support. Okay, so let's start the show by talking about Nuneaton and who honestly thought they would have started the season so well. I have a copy of the 4-4-2 season preview guide in front of me and it says, the key for Kevin Wilkin and his part-timers is to again avoid relegation. They will do well to match last term's 15th. Their final prediction is 19th. So, Nuneaton fans, what do you think of your incredible start? Do you feel the surprise for your team's success is unfair? Kevin Wilkin, after Tuesday night's win against Hereford, insisted there is no secret formula for the success. And if there was, he'd bottle it up. The form of Nuneaton squad hasn't gone unnoticed, with 3 players being called up to Paul Fairclough's England seed side to take on Latvia. How long can this run continue? Will they be pushing for the playoffs, or even, if they continue this form, for the title? Looking elsewhere in the league, after losing their first 3 games of the season, Anth Smith resigned from his job as manager of Gateshead. The Heed acted quickly in appointing Gary Mills, a man with great experience and knowledge in the league. We bring you an extended interview from what you would have heard on the non-league show, and we began by asking how important was it that Gary kept up to date with the league in his time away from the game?
I think it's very important. I think obviously it's one of the major reasons I got the job at Gateshead, because they know I know the league, I know what it needs to get out of this league, what it takes, and you know, doesn't happen overnight, and I've got to come in and Gateshead and get the team to play the way that I want them to play and get the right players at the football club to achieve things.
You obviously had success while you were at York. How much similarities do you see between Gateshead and York? Is there stuff there that you feel, well, actually this squad is obviously capable to go on and push on for the playoffs?
Listen, I need to improve it. You know, like I say, players have got to grasp very, very quickly and play the way I want them to play, but make decisions, the right decisions at the same time. You'll always want to bring players in to improve it, and certainly that's the case with me.
And in your time off from the game, what was it that you were doing? Were you constantly looking for jobs, or what kept you busy?
It's tough, you know. It's tough when you're out, because it's a job I love doing. It's what I like. It's my living. And I didn't enjoy being out of work. Mm. So I kept myself busy. It was a funny time because I lost my job in March, and the season finished in April, and then the season started July, pre-season. So, you know, and there was no jobs available. I got the call from Gateshead now, and I'm delighted to be back in.
And so how would you judge what appropriate jobs would be for you? Were there certain leagues you were looking at? Were you only looking at Squirrel Premier? Or are you looking into League 2 below? Or?
Yeah, of course. I've done... my CV's not bad, you know, and I've had a few promotions, and, you know, I've come to Gateshead because the chairman's ambitious, and I want to do well for Gateshead Football Club now. But, listen, I wanted to manage in Division 2 with York and get them into Division 1, but I'm out of work at York because they made that decision. I have to get on now, and I have to get on with my job at Gateshead, and that's what I'll do.
So what you've seen already from your squad, is there good ground there to push on?
Well, there's work to be done.
Yeah.
You know, there's work to be done. We were naive today at times, but there's some good lads there. They want to play, they want to listen, they want to learn, and we played excellent last week, you know, played excellent. What we've got to learn as well is that you can't always play the same week in, week out.
Yeah.
And I think that was the case today. And we played into their hands a little bit for 45 minutes.
We saw today, obviously, the football that you like to play, playing it on the floor, playing nice football. How long do you think it'll take for the boys to properly get used to your system and your way of playing?
Well, listen, like I say, if you'd watched us last Saturday at home to Hereford, you'd have thought they'd have grasped it straight away, because we were excellent last week. We've come here to Cambridge, and like I said, been a bit naive. We overplayed, and they know that. You know, there's some experienced players in my dressing room, and when they're out there, they have to make decisions of whether to go short with the ball or go a bit longer. Because you know, a longer ball doesn't mean you play the long game.
Yeah.
If it's into the striker's feet, then it's a good ball. So we just needed to do that a little bit more first half.
Our final talking point in the Skrill Premier is Grimsby Town, as we look at the pre-season favourites. Last night we heard from a lot of you about what is going wrong, and there seems to be a lot of negativity around the club. Many fans seem to think the changing of formation, failing to play your top goal scorers, and general mismanagement is the reason why we currently see the Mariners languishing in 10th place. So Mariners fans, is Paul Hurst the right man for the job? Would you prefer to see Rob Scott still at the club? Or ideally, should both of them be gone? Is it time for a new man at the helm of Grimsby Town? Let us know what you think. That concludes our roundup of the Skrill Premier. We pass the baton on now to Michael McCann, who tells us what happened in the Conference North and the Conference South over the weekend.
In the Skrill North, Brackley have overtaken Altrincham as leaders of the pack after a dig-in hat-trick allowed them to comfortably beat Stalybridge 3-0 at home. They now sit top with 17 points after 7 games and appear to look just as formidable as the Brackley side that reached the playoff final only to lose to Halifax last season. Altrincham slipped up at home to Oxford in a result that didn't go to form. The game ended in a 2-2 draw, despite Altrincham in fact leading after just 20 minutes through goals from the prolific James Walshaw and Richmer. Oxford showed great character to score just 2 minutes later for an own goal, before a controversial second half penalty from Pond gave them the point. Though Oxford do sit winless and in the relegation zone, fantastic results like this and performances of such character would suggest that they have the capabilities to get out of it. Hednesford have been a surprise package, winning 2-0 at home to newly promoted Vauxhall to continue their excellent start to the season. Elliot Jarrell scored 2 more to take his overall tally to 10, comfortably the league's top scorer. Hednesford now sit just off the top boys with 16 points off 7 games. A great start considering that the club's aim was simply to stay in the division after reaching this division via promotion last term. Solihull are an unbeaten side in the division, as well as Brackley and Altrincham, and that continued on Saturday with 2 second half goals, one courtesy of Denny and one of Ball, allowing them to win 2-0 at home to North Ferriby. Boston and Histon have also had impressive revivals, particularly considering both had bad starts to the season, with Boston scoring 3 second-half goals to dispatch Geisley, and a Hicks goal giving Histon a superb 1-0 away win at Harrogate. Newsham scored again on Saturday for Boston, taking his overall tally to 6 and making him the unique second top scorer in the league. Worcester remain winless after a goalless draw at Colwyn Bay at the bottom, whilst Gainsborough Trinity gained their first points with an excellent 2-1 win over Barrow. The win was gained courtesy of a dramatic late goal from Jones after Rushton had equalised for the visitors. Clayton had put Gainsborough in front after 24 minutes. And as for Stockport County, undoubtedly one of the bigger sides in the division, their revival continued somewhat with a 1-0 draw at home to Leamington. The point, by all accounts, was not necessarily a bad one, as Leamington in fact had much of the better of the game. Prolific non-league journeyman Phil Jevons scored his third of the season to give them a point after Leamington had gone in front after just 2 minutes. The game of the weekend in fact happened between two sides who currently don't lurk in either the early relegation or early promotion mix-up. Workington beat Gloucester 4-2 at home with 4 first-half goals. Workington had taken the lead at 1-0 and 2-1, only for Gloucester to pull them back twice. However, in the second half, they managed to finally pull clear, courtesy of goals from McKenna and Jackson. In the Skrill South, As opposed to the Skrill North, where three unbeaten teams remain, there are in fact no unbeaten sides left. Proof that this division really is one in which every game is as tough as the last one. Eastleigh remain top after a 3-1 win at Maidenhead took their tally to 16 points for the season. Non-league journeyman striker Richard Paquette gave Maidenhead the lead after 16 minutes with his fifth goal of the season. However, an Odubade double over both sides of half-time and a goal from McAllister meant Eastleigh ran out comfortable winners. Bromley are also well up in the promotion mix after a clinical 3-0 win at home to Staines, courtesy of goals from Nichols, Goldberg and Pierre-Joseph Dubois, with his fifth league goal of the season, making him the league's joint top scorer. Western Super Mare won 2-1 at Dover, an impressive win at a place that's always particularly difficult to go in recent seasons anyway. Modeste had given Dover what looked to be the winning goal with a strike in the 62nd minute. However, just 4 minutes later, they allowed Western Supermare back in with Plummer scoring, and then Western Supermare nicked a late winner, courtesy of Diallo. That means that Supermare have now won 5 of their last 6 after an opening day defeat, and sit just 1 point off top, showing great character to recover from that initial disappointment. Bishop Stortford are also up in the playoff mix with 14 points, after an away win by 3-1 at Dorchester, who sit bottom of the table with just 1 point. Martin had given Dorchester the lead after just 1 minute of the game. However, goals from Johnson, Symes and Stokes meant Stortford comfortably ran out winners. Basingstoke are also in the playoff mix after an eventful 2-2 draw at home with Ebbsfleet. The game was bookended by goals for the visitors, with Rance scoring after 3 minutes and Shane Hute grabbing them a point with a 90th minute goal. In between, goals from Williams and Barrett had given Basingstoke the lead. Hayes and Yedding continued their impressive recovery, led by the guidance of their manager and ex-Premier League player Phil Babb. They gained a 2-1 win at Havant and Waterlooville, courtesy of goals from Mills and English. Havant's goal was an 89th minute consolation, and in fact, the scoreline by most accounts didn't reflect the pattern of the game, as Hayes and Yedding probably, due to the chances they created, could have won by many more. Regardless, that's 3 wins in a row for them now, and surely they must be starting to think about whether this could turn into a promotion campaign if they could continue formed like this. At the bottom, Gosport lost 2-0 at Boreham Wood and now sits second bottom on just 2 points. The table is beginning to take shape now, with 6 to 7 games completed for most sides, nearing the traditional mark of 10 at which most managers will start paying particular attention to it. And at this stage, many will have been shocked to see Chelmsford in the bottom three. Though manager Holdsworth did appear to be presenting his excuses before the season started by saying that he didn't expect them to be anywhere near the playoffs and last season's success of challenging, again due to budget cuts, it's still a surprise to see them sinking quite this low. And they sit on just 4 points from 7 games after a 2-0 loss at home to Whitehawk on Saturday. One side who have climbed out of the relegation zone and were also involved in the game of the day was Farnborough, who had an eventful 3-3 draw at Sutton United. Both sides led at 1 point before an 84th minute strike for Sutton looked to have won the game. However, Farnborough came straight back and scored just 3 minutes later to grab a point, which probably seemed fair considering the fantastic entertainment both sides dished up. Farnborough now sit on 4 points from just 3 games, allowing them to already get out of the bottom three. This does not account for the fact that Farnborough have 3 to 4 games on most of their rivals. Though a promotion campaign seems unlikely, the team on the pitch have actually looked to be more than competing with their rivals, and there surely is still chance that Farnborough could have a more than respectable season in this division. Remarkable considering all of their financial and administration problems they suffered. I've been Michael McCann, and that was this week's roundup of the results and goings on in the Skrill North and Skrill South. Thank you.
So that's it for this week's episode of Out of the League. Just to remind you, it's so simple to vote for us for the Football Blogging Awards. You just need to tweet, "I am voting in at the FBAs for at Out of the League as the best hashtag podcast and best hashtag non-league blog." Thank you very much. And if you don't have Twitter, please go on the Football Blogging Awards website where it tells you how to vote via Facebook or simply online. Thank you so much for your support and tune in next week.